duo. The duo. The duo.
I'll wait for you to interrupt me like you usually do. I know it's coming. I know it's coming.
Man. I'm a changed man.
He's changed. He's a homeowner now, man.
Oh, yep.
You know I'm gonna be egging that on all episode.
I've been gone for like 5 episodes, yeah, so it's like forgetting all my social cues.
Wait, yeah, be like, who are you?
From the new listeners and viewers that hopped in like two or three episodes ago. It's like, wait a minute, there's another one.
He won? No. Inside joke, guys. Inside joke. Episode 81, the TO episode of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, joined by my ace, my guy, my best friend, the return of Dane Beasley, Dane, homeowner. How's it feel, man? Hold on. Wait. Before you answer this, I got something. Hold on. Return of Dane to the pop podcast. Dane is back. Dane, when was your last episode on the pod, man? It was 77. Ooh, but I can't remember.
Many moons ago, man.
Been about a month, man. What's been going on, man? What's, you know, we talk on the daily, but let the people know where you've been at. Like, they feel like you just dipped out on them, bro.
Man, so first off, the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast has a really great PTO program. Okay. Boy, I've been out for a minute. So for those of you new listeners, or those of you looking for work, either on the production side or just, you know, being the key grip or, you know, some fancy, this is where it's at, you know, this is where it's at. No, but my family, we moved out of the apartment. We were living in that apartment complex since 2015, since I moved to Dallas. And then we moved from the one bedroom we were originally in into a two bedroom after my wife and I were expecting a kid. Kid got here and shit just started getting smaller and smaller. Like the apartment just started closing in on us. Like, so, you know, we been saving and investing and just waiting for the right time to eventually make that next step into being homeowners. And the doors were all closed. We hunted for several months, got a nice agent. And we, you know, we were completely content with just staying in the apartment for another season. And then, you know, trying to, you know, find a good place for us to move, to live. And then something opened up. And it's one thing led to another, and then just like it just kept getting better and better. It's like, well, what's the catch? So there was no catch. But long story short, we are in a house now. We are living in a home.
Homeowner.
Yeah.
On my air horns right now.
Oh my gosh! But anywho, we're all moved in. We have all the boxes and containers and just stuff in their appropriate rooms. Now, haven't always all been moved, but it's just been busy just trying to get one room situated at a time. Yeah. So it's a process. And then, of course, having a 2-year-old at the same time who does everything. That's been me. I'm going to tell you straight. I have literally missed every major sport event, piece of news, the whole, like, I've literally missed everything. Like, I'm literally telling you, I missed everything. Like Tiger came back, apparently. Yeah. Like that whole thing happened. Like, mm-hmm. I missed the bulk of March Madness, like just getting home from work and then just being too tired to do anything. Like, literally haven't been online on the game to be with my fellas. Like, I got on, you know, for like maybe 45 minutes one night, and that was it. But it was just, it's just the whole process of trying not to do too much in terms of moving everything and then just trying to get back into the groove of things. But man, I got enough. I caught up enough. I found out about, you know, the whole shebang-a-bang with was it the Oscars, I think, maybe. No, I don't know. One of them war shows. Like, I don't watch them anyways, but I found out about it the next day. My wife told me, like, you heard what happened? I was like, what happened?
Yeah, Will.
Somebody got shot or something. She told me about that. I was like, oh, I'm sure it was
planned. All you had to do was hop on social media that day.
But then again, I hopped on social media, and then Damari sent me a video. I was like, okay, let me watch this. What are you talking about? And I was like, oh. So that happened. Of course, March Madness, the way that I didn't get to watch anything like
yeah.
And I tell
it's
you,
been a,
like,
it's just been a blur.
This very seat that I'm sitting in, I fell asleep in the seat multiple times trying to be a normal human being and watch some sports. And I just literally couldn't. Draft coverage, that's out the window. I've been trying to keep up with that, but it's just, yeah. But I said all that to say this. I've watched Snowfall for the most part. Atlanta, Moon Knight. We watched Shrek. Shrek 2. Watched that at least four or five movie. Times. Yes, Shrek I do remember. Langston just got on it, and he loves it. So we've been watching that a lot.
I watched
Cars a few times.
I'm taking TJ this weekend. I'm going down to Killeen this weekend. I'm taking him to see Sonic 2.
Nice.
He's excited about that, and I'm definitely excited. It looks like it's gonna be hella fun. So excited about that. Happy to have you back on, brother.
Glad to be back, man. And appreciate you, man, for
holding it down,
and just from locking in great guests, and then just from having a conversation with you yourself and I or you. So that was dope. Straight Bomani Jones style. I was like, okay, he's got something.
I was like, I was so nervous just because, I give it up to all those guys that do that, like, you know, just talking on a mic with no audience. Right. I mean, and
no feedback.
Like, dang,
nobody to correct you if you say something wrong, right. Something out of line.
Yeah, hey, and I didn't get any, you know, messages or anything. Like, hey, bro, you sound like you don't know. You sound like you don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, bro, just trying to hold it down for the duo. You know, trying to get this thing going. Got a couple of cool things coming up that we'll talk about later in the show. And
one of those could be
something. We'll get to that. But happy to have Dane back. Episode 81 of the duo. If you haven't already, make sure you give us a 5-star review on Apple. Spotify has 5-star reviews as well, so you can give us one on there. Like, subscribe on YouTube, all that, you know, click that subscribe button on YouTube, you know, and share with your friends, all that good stuff.
Join the
naughty gang. Yeah, you know, naughty, naughty. So every time we drop a video, you will know.
Get exclusives to the fresh new content.
Fresh new content. So the big NFL news from this week, bro. You know, we got the draft coming up in a few weeks. Previously, we had talked about the Brian Flores lawsuit. And he got hired by the Steelers and Mike Tomlin's staff. But, you know, just today, Steve Wilks, former head coach from the Arizona Cardinals, and Ray Horton, former defensive coordinator, joined Brian Flores' lawsuit that he has against the NFL teams alleging racism in the hiring practices. And a lot of people were, you know, kind of waiting for other, you know, entities to join the lawsuit. And this seems like something that could kind of give more, not levity, but I'm thinking of the word, kind of like more backing to Brian Flores's, you know, statement and argument. And so with Brian Flores' statement today, he came out and said he continued to be humbled by the outpouring support in connection with his claims against the NFL. And he applauds Steve Wilks and Ray Horton for standing up against systemic racism. And in the article from ESPN, it kind of talks about how Steve Wilkes. And to be honest, man, when I heard the name Steve Wilkes, I couldn't even remember who he was. Did you remember what that guy? Like, yeah.
I was like, wait, I was just trying to think of quotables like from press conferences and stuff. And I was like, is that the same dude? Maybe. No.
Right.
I got around to him.
Right. There was a part that was, and I can't find the quote right now, but there was a part of the lawsuit where basically in Steve Wilkes' part, he was there the year before Cliff Kingsbury got hired. And so in this lawsuit, he's claiming that that he was put in a bad position as far as only getting 1 year. Like he was fired after one season of getting hired, and the GM at the time made the wrong personnel moves, then hired Cliff Kingsbury, who didn't have a winning record at Texas Tech, and he's had a longer leash. Basically, that's what this lawsuit is saying, that he had a longer leash at Arizona.
I think you're underselling that. Not only is he very unsuccessful at Tech, but they literally just drafted or used one of their top picks for a quarterback.
And yeah.
Despite many rumors and things like that of saying that, you know, that's going to be our guy, they end up drafting a quarterback the first season he's with them. And so that just gives you an idea of just the clout.
A setting up to fail Steve Wilkes, like, you know, failure, the bridge. Yeah, that's what it says in the article. He was a bridge coach. You know, the coach that, you know, we got you in place now. The
fall guy. What you want to do? What you want to do is hold this loaded gun with fingerprints on it. Or correction, that's wiped clean of fingerprints. Stick your hand in there, put your finger on the trigger, and just play with it a little bit. Nobody's gonna know. It's not tied to any type of crimes or anything like that in this state, so you should be fine. There's no type of federal charges that could come with you having this in your possession and the several bodies that are on it. So that's something like that. Yeah.
Quote unquote tanking, right? And him getting bounced after the first year. A interesting thing that I was talking to my dad about this thing, and his stance was, or he had a question. He was like, why did they wait so long to come out and like be a part of this lawsuit? Either that, or I told him, I was like, man, well, maybe they got to a point where they felt like if they came out, and this is just my opinion, if they came out and, you know, joined the lawsuit, took a stand, that they would be blackballed and not have the opportunity to ever get a coaching job again. And I think with them joining this lawsuit, they probably realized that. And they're like, hey, I'm not going to get to a point. I don't care what happens to this point as far as me securing a job in the NFL. But I need to have my story told. I need to let people know this is what's going on. Right. This is what's been going on. There was even an article about the Mike Mularkey hiring back in 2016 in Tennessee, how he was told that they weren't going to do the Rooney Rule. He was going to get hired before they go through the Rooney Rule processes. And a few weeks ago, the ESPN NFL had announced that I don't know if you saw that, Dane, that they're changing Rooney Rule stuff as far as each NFL team has to have a female analyst, offensive analyst on the offensive side of the ball, and they're trying to create opportunities, which if you're the NFL, you like have to at least make an attempt, whether people believe that it's an honest attempt. You have to have that image where, okay, we're going to try to push this narrative or make changes to push to where we want to go as far as equality and all those things. But in your opinion, do you think, and I already see your face. go ahead.
This the NFL trying to blow off this is them trying to sweep up the little breadcrumbs that were left behind that they actually or let people believe that they actually care about women. The NFL don't give a damn about women. They're dead wrong. It shows in their actions and how different crimes that have been committed or alleged crimes that have been committed at the expense of women. Like, they don't care. This is just another way for them to look good and sell those pink t-shirts that everyone, or pink jerseys and t-shirts they love in October. It's like, it's NFL's full of, they're full of, you know what.
You know what's crazy? And as a collective, And, and I'm going to bring it up again, the Deshaun Watson contract, right? He got the highest guaranteed contract of any player ever.
Period.
Any player ever with 22 civil suits against him, like currently. Like, on what planet does that happen? I know that's not the NFL giving him that contract. That's, you know, the Cleveland Browns organization. But at the same time, the NFL hasn't taken any action on Watson yet. Of course, they're saying they're doing their investigation. But that all goes into what the NFL has been facing and what they failed to address the past few seasons, the past few years with equality and how they see these, you know, actions and how their players are seen in a light where, you know, what's going on with Watson and how that can affect their demographic as far as, you know, women are concerned. Like, it's just, it's as we like to call it, Dane, that's nasty work.
Women make up a huge base of your merch sales, your tickets. Like, there's a huge, 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 huge demographic made up of women. Dang it. So yeah, I forgot what I was going with that. Oh, but yeah, that it was kind of cringeworthy when I read it, because it's like, what are you really saying here? Like, what is the message you're really trying to get across here? And it's just women know that. They know they see it as a slap in the face. And I can't speak for women because I'm not one, but that if it looks like you know what, smells like you know what, then it's probably you know what.
It's probably you know what, man. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this lawsuit plays out, because I think we talked about this before, bro. Brian Flores has a job. He's coaching in the NFL under Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, I mean, do you think he'll ever be a head coach again, being a part of this lawsuit? I have a theory. My theory, I think there is a way he can be a head coach. And we saw what happened with Bruce Arians retiring and handing the baton over to Todd Bowles. First of all, Bruce Arians, I said this previously, but salute to Bruce Arians again, because he's, even before he retired, these past few years at Tampa Bay, he's had one of the most diverse coaching staffs. Almost a black person or coach or person of color at every position on his staff. He, despite what people think, if he was feuding with Tom Brady and the disagreements they had, he put Todd Bowles in a position to be successful, right? But to go back to Mike Tomlin and Brian Flores, I think that could be an option. If Mike Tomlin decides one day he's going to retire and Brian Flores is still under him, I see a scenario where Mike Tomlin hands the reins over to Brian Flores as the head coach. If he gets up, you know, he's not a defensive coordinator yet. I think he's some defensive analyst, but I can see a scenario where he becomes the head coach in that scenario. But as far as like going to another team and going through the hiring process, I agree with you. I don't see him being a head coach in that lane.
Yeah, that's over with. And history will remember him as a martyr in terms of this particular lawsuit. What the outcome of it will be, I have no idea. But we know the NFL has a track record of not being inconvenienced by anything that isn't authored by the NFL. But remember, it takes all of us. Yeah. Whatever the hell that means.
End it.
You have to end it. But let's
staying in the NFL, bro. We talked about, you know, you haven't really been here for, you know, the usual pre-draft coverage And man, you and I have talked about it, and we're gonna do something really cool, which kind of make up for that and try to dive into new kind of content for the duo. Okay. And should we announce it?
I mean, I don't see why not.
I don't see why not. Give people time.
Just tell the people what they need to tell the people what they need to know, man. Tell them what they want to hear on this episode 81, the Terrell Owens episode.
Especially when you said,
if you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, get your popcorn ready.
Get your popcorn ready. You know, we already got a theme song for what we're gonna do. Of course, brought to you by our guy Keith, who gives us everything. Shout out to Keith. Okay, here it is. This is what we're gonna do, Dane.
That boy Keith be in his bag, bro.
Yeah, shout out to Keith, man. Shout out to Keith, man.
That gets you hype right there. It's like it requires a slow-mo walk. Like whoever is entering the premises, it's gotta be like a slow-mo walk as that's playing in the background. Like
the slowest of walks.
It's gotta be a slow-mo walk.
So this is what we're doing. No, you're great. The draft, NFL draft, April 28th, first round. So you know how they break it up now. First round's Thursday, second and third are on Friday, the rest are on Saturday. So this is what Dane and I are going to do. Mm-hmm. This is what the duo is going to do. Thursday, April 28th, join us for a NFL first round draft watch party. You heard it. We're going to do a watch party for the first round of the NFL draft. We have details to follow in the coming days and weeks leading up to that day on Thursday. Join Dana and I. We will be in a live session via the Playback app, and I'll tell you more about that with the details when that comes. But Dana and I are going to be in the chat room. We're going to have people come in. You're going to be able to come and talk up on stage with us about everything draft worthy. It could be NFL stuff. We're just going to have a good time, kick back. You'll be able to watch the draft with us live on the screen. So, you know, you can just hop in the chat, watch it. We're all watching it at the same time, talking, cracking jokes, having fun, all that good stuff. But yeah, that's what we're doing. But of course, that'll be Thursday, April 28th. The draft starts at 7, so we'll probably kick it off at 6:30. But Dane, we talked about it. I think it'll be a cool experience, man. What you think?
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm excited, bro. Look, this is your opportunity to interact with us. And the thing that I love about it so much is people, and I'm going to say this bluntly, people waste their time listening to us ramble and ramble.
Yeah.
And now this... The turns have tabled. They get the opportunity to ramble along with us as we partake in one of the most televised events throughout the year in terms of sports. So we get to watch these young men have life-changing situations and then talk about it with other people that might be fans and things like that. So we like literally, man, it's cool. It's dope from a tech standpoint. It's phenomenal from a sports standpoint. Yeah, sports and entertainment standpoint. It's, you know, they have the opportunity to hear people nerd out and what their thoughts and opinions are, and for them to get that opportunity to, you know, maybe this is something they would like to do, you know, talking to people online or talking to people online and hoping someone listens like that, you know. It's,
yeah.
So I'm excited, man. I'm looking forward to
And I know y'all tired of hearing the talking, the everyday talking heads talk about it. Come chill with the duo, man. We're just going to be chilling. Yeah. Pop open a couple of brews, you know, kick back.
The worst thing about it is, unfortunately, you know, it is a Thursday. I mean, I can't speak for everybody else, but, you know, work from home on Thursdays and Fridays, so I'll be good. But everybody else, you know, unfortunately, if you have to wake up and go to work on Friday, just, you know, make sure you be careful. Don't hit the bottle too hard, because, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You old like we is. Them hangovers ain't no joke. It's going to come knocking. It don't matter if you answer that door or not. The hangover is going to come through. Like, hey, man, we're going to have a headache for you for the next 6, 7, 8 hours.
Yeah, so
I'm excited, man, duo
watch party, man, and this is just a part of what the duo is trying to do, new creative content, things to get the audience of ours excited, things of that nature, more to come, soon to come in the coming days and weeks. And speaking of audience engagement, we had a challenge for the duo March Madness tournament. On ESPN, we had one for the men's tournament, one for the women's. I have told the winner already that they won on the men's side, and I recorded their reaction. I'm going to play it on the pod. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead, man. Run it.
Okay. And I'll do the women's challenge after, but I called the winner for the men's challenge, and I had Karina record it, and they could not believe it. And I'm going to play it right now.
I know you ain't checked it in a long time, have you? Hey, you're not better than your mom, are you? I am not. Go check it.
Oh, this is good. Well, which I don't know is the publisher's clearinghouse just showed up in her crib.
An episode of the duo.
That's what I said.
The camera and the big ass chick.
Oh my God, are you serious? I'm so serious. Go check it. Hey, I knew. Me and Karina looked at it Saturday after the games, the Final Four, and I was like, "Oh, my mom in third. She don't even know it. I ain't gonna say nothing to her until Kansas wins."
I'm only playing because
mom pushed me to play. All right. So if you didn't get it by now, my mom won the men's tournament challenge, and that was me calling her to let her know. And as you, like Dane mentioned, it was like Publisher's Clearinghouse just showed up at her door, and she won $1 million. So, and it was so much fun. I played that for the first time for Dane, and so my mom won, and as we have mentioned before, the winner comes on the duo, and she's claiming she doesn't want to come on, and that's, she's gonna come on, and we're gonna talk something. She's like, I don't know sports. I was like, it could be anything in the world. So we'll try to set that up with her at some point. But yeah, my mom won. I did not pick her bracket. She picked her own teams, and she ended up picking Kansas in the end, which helped her out tremendously. Actually, I picked Kansas as well. But yeah, she won. She ended up being first. I believe Karina's friend Kelsey came in second. And that
I was going to ask, how close were the other losers?
Oh, I have it right here because, yeah, let's talk about J3 because I don't know if you saw Dane, you were busy moving and stuff, but he had tweeted the duo account on Twitter. He's like, y'all should do an update on the brackets to see who's, you know, this is like Sweet 16.
Oh, this is arrogant
weekend.
J3.
Yeah, this is Sweet 16 J3. Weekend. Oh. And he was in first at that time. And so I did an update. I think I did an update last week and he was like in third. I can't remember, but top three was, not including me, was my mom, Kelsey, and then our boy Cornelius. And J3 fell all the way to 10 because he had Duke winning it all. But that was...
he ugly for that pick of Duke. Look, I'm glad that it turned out the way that it did. I don't think I would.
Two Broncos fans.
And the yes, I don't think I could do that again. Not only that, because it would turn into that. It would be a 2-on-1 situation. I'd have to fight for my life. But I'm glad. He'll probably call me today or tomorrow. He's working a double, but. Okay. I'm glad. Sorry, JB3. It had to be you, brother.
yeah, he was in first for most of the challenge, man, which is crazy. Man. Came down to those championship picks, man. Gosh,
that's dope.
Yeah. So, yeah, my mom will be on at some point in the near future to talk whatever she wants to talk about.
How receptive was the rest of the Baylor homies about you picking another... You know, like, how'd that go? I mean, obviously, as a realist, you would want to pick the more talented team, the better team, obviously, which I understand that. But how did that go with the Baylor game? Because that's kind of grimy, man.
I got flack even for it, for sure.
Like that.
I got when I posted the graphic of my Final Four picks, it's like, oh, you don't have Baylor in your Final Four? You got Kansas win it all. I was like, yeah. It's so tough to go back to back one, and Baylor have had so many injuries and stuff they were going through the season. It would have been tough to, you know,
go. Now we're getting excuses. Back-to-back. Okay, I guess.
It's not an excuse. Not an excuse. I see. I'm what's a realist. Happening here. I'm a realist, like you said.
Partially. That's an asterisk. You're a realist with an asterisk next to it. If anybody's a realist on this podcast, it's your boy.
If anybody's a realist, it's gonna be me.
Me.
Yeah, man. I just, you know, I felt like Kansas was a team that was, you know, they had the players in place to make a run. They got hot at the right time. The players that needed to play hot did. Remy Martin went off from off the bench in that championship game against North Carolina. Shout out to North Carolina as well, because them being an AC should not have been the case. Like, they probably should have been seated a little higher than that, but the run that those guys made, especially knocking off the reigning national champions, Baylor Bears, and, you know, those. But let me get to the...
Shameless, aren't you? Yes, yeah, please.
Let me get to the women's side. On the women's side, of course, the South Carolina Gamecocks won. They defeated UConn in the national championship game. This person, you know, I don't know who they are, because I posted this on our duo Twitter page and it got some random entries from random Twitter names. So after this episode drops, I'm going to reach out to this person if I can find them. Big Mac 348, if you're listening to the podcast.
You know what? That's funny. That's the nickname I got for Coach McCarthy. I call him Big Mac Mike.
Yeah, you do. Speaking of which, I hung out with your boy, Mike McCarthy. We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. But
did Big he lie Mac, about my plan?
Big Mac 348, if you're listening to the podcast, you won. You won some duo merch. So please DM us and we can get that situated. If not, it's going to go to the next person in line, which happens to be my brother, Bo. It seems like I'm setting this up. It seems like I'm setting this up for my family to win.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Who set this up? But yeah, I would try very hard to find Big Mac 348.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. He eating a Big Mac right now.
Yeah. So Big Mac 348 was the winner on the women's side. He and my brother both picked, he or she picked South Carolina along with my brother. They were 30 points separated between the two, 1370 Sheesh. And 1340. So they win some duo merch, exclusive duo merch. And yeah, man, that was pretty fun. But my mom went insane, dope. And that was funny to be a part of. But that's Dane, sweet. It's been a while, but here we go.
What the hell?
No!
Segment brought to you by
shout out to Keith
for all our instrumentals and segment moments. Appreciate you. Also shout out to our guy C-Daz with the duo theme music. And man, facts. We are in the nerdy news segment. Dane, it's been a while since we talked nerdy news stuff. We haven't even really talked about it off mic, so
facts.
Episode 2 of Moon Knight dropped. And before we kind of get into 2, I talked about 1 last week. Mm-hmm. And I will say I'm still confused by the show because I'm not into the comics of this particular character. I'm not familiar with this character besides the general idea of him being the MCU's version of Batman. I'm intrigued by what I've seen so far in this show. What have you seen from it, and what's kind of your thoughts on Moon Knight so far?
Man, so I too was unfamiliar with the character, but I did some very thorough research. I did some very thorough research back in January and in February. That is until my app that I was using to read comic books no longer decided to work. So I got through a decent amount of issues. And the worst thing about it was I have a number of sources of comic book reading friends, and I got a good list of like 15 or so comics and graphic novels to go over. And instead of me going by the list from 1 to 15, like the best one to the worst one out of 15.
You went in alphabetical order?
I went in the order in which they were released. So I got through, like, I was in the 80s, bro. And it didn't start. I mean, obviously it was still good content, of course, an original story, but I didn't get into the 90s, which a lot of good stuff happened. A lot of good runs were happening.
And a lot of inspiration for what the MCU is doing now. Yeah.
Yes. So first off, I like the way they're going with it. The source material is there. It's not 100%, you know, from the it's not 100% pulled from the early runs. So they're Mark Spector in one of the early runs of Moonlight. Mark Spector was, of course, a mercenary, a hired hitman type of deal. Of course, after he gained the power, the power of Khonshu through, this superhero or anti-hero called Moon Knight, he, of course, retired back to his home back in New York. And he was his other alter ego, or at the time it was just an identity or an alias to protect his investment because he was a millionaire. This guy that we have now, the lead role that we have now, the main guy that we see, he in that particular run was a millionaire. So there was spoiler alert, in the comics there was a third personality or a third alias. The third alias, of course, was like a cab driver, make it like an Uber driver, something like that. But he was a cab driver. Jake Lockley, I believe his name was. Reminded me of Jake Locker. I was like, his name wasn't Jake Locker.
Oh yeah,
Jake Lockley. But yeah, so I don't know if they're gonna do that. It would be cool if they do that. But so far, I'm impressed, man. Ethan Hawke is acting his ass off. So is Isaac. Isaac's doing his thing too. Like, it's a new thing for Disney because we haven't seen anything like this from the Disney side of Marvel. You know, we've seen things from their, produced and funded by Marvel Studios, but we haven't seen anything directly with the receipts coming from Marvel Studios as an entity, or Disney as an entity. So this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm in for the ride. I'm enjoying it. And
I kind of feel like that. Like I'm glad you've like did research on it. And I told myself I'm going to do the opposite and not. And still try to, see how my experience or because like I'm still confused at some points, but that doesn't mean I don't like it. Like some people can confuse being confused with not actually liking the show, but I like how they're diving into like the mental health aspect of it and how they're talking about Egyptian culture and things of that nature. Like seems like when we go into episode 3, he's in Egypt now, and so we'll see the Egypt part of this story and how that unfolds. Yeah. And I'm sure you've seen a lot through the comics that you've read on Moon Knight. And episode 2 kind of for me was kind of like a mirror of episode 1 because with the Stephen Grant character, he's still trying to fight whatever's going on with him and Mark Spector, you know, the aspect of things. And it seems like it's trying to build what we saw in episode 1, and which eventually ends with the with Mark Spector actually taking over, and you know he's in control now, and so we kind of see Khonshu more of a presence of Khonshu in this one, and him battling against Arthur Harrow, which is Ethan Hawke's character, and kind of figuring out what we learned in this episode that Ethan Hawke's character Arthur was previously a avatar for Khonshu. And at first it's like, it seems like it's hard to kind of figure out. And we may see this in the next few episodes, who is like, I don't want to say good guy, bad guy, because Mark Spector's character seems to not want to be a part of Khonshu, like not working. Like he's just doing this as a means to an end of trying to get out of it.
Right.
Like, and we see Arthur kind of playing that, hey, Khonshu is not all what he seems to be.
He's
like
not who you think he is.
Right. And like as sitting there as an audience person or audience like watching this, you're like, all right, so is Arthur really the bad guy here? Is Khonshu really the bad guy here? Like he's like they're both playing with Mark, like on that spectrum. Did you kind of feel that way too?
So here's the thing. Anytime you have a level-headed cult leader, red flag immediately. anytime there's a cult involved, red flag. When you have a level-headed, even-killed, enthusiastic, nice, utopian-esque like cult leader, super red flag. So
David Koresh-ish.
Yeah. So Buddy already started off on the wrong foot. I mean, just to give a little bit more backstory, aside from our boy Jake, aka Ethan Hawke's character Arthur, being a crazy person because
it's crazy that he played that role, man.
He hasn't, Jake!
Range. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're good. He has an obsession with pain. Now, some of the comics that I was able to get to, they went into some pretty good detail, and hopefully they touch more upon it as to why he has that obsession with pain. It's kind of cool. They might get to tie it back to Captain America, which is another cool thing, or just the Super Soldier program in general. Hopefully they do. If not, I get it. But I knew from the jump, like, he ain't worth anything. Now, obviously, Mark Spector has
first scene of episode 1, homie stepping on glass, bro. Like
facts. Yeah, so it's like, no, something wrong with you, bro. But anywho, Mark has his own demons as well. But there is a side to Mark that we can trust and understand that there is a little bit of good left in him that doesn't negate or wipe out or excuse all the or any of the bad that he's done. But we're going to see. We're going to see some things about his character. One thing that I do find interesting is with Steven is tracking him going through the five stages of grief, or just going through stages of grief, like him, of course, obviously denying that this whole thing happened. He knows that there's some realism to another part of him being awake when his conscience is, you know, obviously taking a back seat. Like, he knows that. But we haven't seen him go through any anger per se. Of course, he was upset and, you know, mad at Mark for, you know, Mark doing what he did and endangering lives and doing just
we might see more anger in the next episode because he's trapped now.
Right. But we've seen him bargaining with Mark. We've seen him bargaining with Khonshu, essentially. We've seen him bargaining or attempting to bargain with Arthur. We haven't seen a depressive side, but I'm sure we're going to, you know, there will venture into that, you know. But I think there is some acceptance. There is a little bit of acceptance when him, you know, he's trapped in the little mirror dimension. And then, of course, when he turns into Mr. Knight, I think there's like, okay, I get it. This is real. I think that's part of his acceptance. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see them go through and travel through that model, the grief background model, or the model of grief. So it's, you know, it's cool. How did you feel? What was the part of the show that's like, okay, I can see this tying into the MCU. I can see this tying into something else with the MCU. What part was that for you? Like, what
have you seen that part yet?
What part?
No, I'm just, like, you. Do you have an answer to this question?
Oh, no, I'm just no. I mean, I'm gonna make it up as I go, obviously.
Because the only part, like, I haven't seen any specific like storyline ties. And maybe they're doing that purposely, which it might tie in. I feel like there might be a tie in towards the end of what we think might happen because we know the Midnight Suns is a thing, like with Moon Knight, Blade, Doctor Strange, that kind of thing. But I will go back to, I will make it more like a similarity kind of tie where Arthur's character, we see the color of his power is purple. And we've seen that with what characters? We've seen that with Thanos, right? Thanos, did he have like the purple magic? He didn't really, he just had it with the Power Stone, but we saw purple with Agatha Harkness in WandaVision, which she, right. And so that's, I don't know if that's a connection there and like the MCU loves to play like kind of tie-in games and stuff, but I think the purple could be significant in the fact that it can come from whatever dimension that Agatha Harkness gets her power, the dark hole. I don't know. I'm not very well versed in that, but I think it's interesting that purple, it looks like the same purple that we saw in WandaVision with Agatha. Yeah.
Rap with me here. Purple is often used as a symbol of royalty, purple and gold, at least. And we know Thanos, he himself considered himself to be a messiah of sorts to try to bring balance to the world. Agatha, of course.
And the Power Stone is purple, right?
True.
Wasn't the Power Stone purple?
It's true.
So I don't know, man.
And then, of course, Arthur, I mean, he's a freaking leader of a cult in God knows where, so there is some level of him thinking he is above and beyond and people. So there might be an element of royalty there as well. So I don't know. I don't know. That's a good.
Yeah.
Me personally, I haven't been able to tie anything with the MCU, but that, I think that's the beauty of it. Getting to, especially the second watch, because I watched the first episode twice already. I've only watched the first episode twice. I haven't watched the second episode twice yet. But that's the beauty of it, just being able to let your imagination run wild, and you know, just think about what kind of things you can conjure up, because who the hell knows where we're going to go with? Because I believe Isaac, he's only signed up for this one season and he wanted to see how it plays out with the fans. Like, if fans can get with it, then he'll be back.
It's only behind WandaVision and Loki as far as, you know, the viewership on Disney Plus as far as MCU shows, which surprised the hell out of me because, like, out of all those characters, like, if you put all those characters on the screen in front of each other, nobody knows about Moon Knight. Like, the general mass audience, and for this show to have like leading or in third as far as the viewership goes compared to those other MCU shows is pretty incredible.
Remember with the Guardians of the Galaxy though too. Little to no people knew about those guys.
Yeah. Put them up. Yeah.
When they first, you know, dropped trailers, but you could put those guys up next to a bunch of B-level, even C-level, C-list type of characters, and nobody would know who they were. And mm-hmm. now they are a household name. So this could be a gateway for Moon Knight to get in the forefront. And who knows? What I know, the inspiration or the effect that Moon Knight will have on people, we are going to see in the coming weeks, if not coming months, if not the coming year, tons of fraternities using Moon Knight or Mr. Knight. Mr. Knight's costume is their probate. It's their probate attire.
Oh yeah, so, that's a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah,
that's a fact.
You see that? You see that? Mr. Knight looked like he was. You know, yeah. he was smooth. He was smooth. Khonshu called him he said a psycho Colonel Sanders or something like that. So
yeah. Oh, that was Mark called him that. Oh,
was it Mark? Okay, yeah. Mark called him. Okay, my bad. I thought it was I recalled it differently. My bad.
Did you see the Disneyland Avengers campus? They already got a Moon Knight guy out there.
Damn, already?
Already, yeah. Bro.
It's in motion. I didn't see that. Yeah. I have to take a look at that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Moon Knight episode 2 in the books. Make sure you guys check that out. Episode 3, of course, will be dropping on Wednesday, and Dane and I will talk about that. Then Dane closing out the nerdy news segment, man. I said in my mind that Warner Brothers and DC down bad, bro. Apparently they're considering replacing Ezra Miller after all of this crazy stuff that this guy has been going through. He got arrested in Hawaii for harassment. The movie got delayed previously into June 2023. Kind of a lot of rumors going around about this, if he's going to get replaced or not. But DC's down bad. The Batman, you know, was incredible, but as far as DC and wanting to have this DCEU universe, it seems like it's one thing after another as far as them trying to get it together. And I think this is, of course, another setback, but also they can't get right.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully he gets his, I mean, there's a long list of, not incidents, but a long list of happenings with Ezra. So hopefully he got the right people in his corner and he's good, because some of the stuff that they reported that he's been a part of, it's like, is this like an episode of like The Simpsons or something? Like, is this real life? But I don't know.
That man be happy he still got a job. Like,
facts.
What's crazy though, and this is going down a whole nother rabbit hole, but
okay.
I ain't gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it.
We could talk after this.
We'll talk after. But yeah, DC and Warner Brothers, whatever they decide, man. I don't know, man. It just seems like one thing after another. And
listen, they just need to pack it up, focus on the DC animated universe, and
they can take over the game. They already holding.
How would you know?
Anyway.
Answer the question, Diaz. How would you know? How far you made in that DC animated universe timeline, man? Where you at? Which movie you on? Yeah, I got thought. Boy, I don't know what you talk about, man. You up here lying to these folk, man. Look at you. They caught you with 4K.
So that'll wrap up the show. How Kevin Hart looking at one meme? He's like,
facts. Whoo! I'm just messing with you, man. I know you probably tried. Hell no, you've had it over a year. Because yeah, that last one dropped in like April or maybe May of last year, maybe even June. You've had some time, my brother.
I've had some time. I've had look,
DC has dropped the ball plenty of times, so I can understand your pause with the.
I'm just doing.
The animated universe is on another level.
I take your word for it.
You got to, because I know you ain't watching.
That's all I gotta shoot. Oh man, episode 81 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Got to have my guy Dane back in the building. TO episode. Make sure you subscribe on Apple, Spotify. Give us those 5 stars. Give us that like on YouTube. Subscribe down here on YouTube, guys. Yes, please do that. Share with your friends. Retweet the episode. Quote us. Remember, we're having a draft, first round draft watch party Thursday, April 28th. BYOB. Bring your mic as well. We're going to talk and have some fun, man. More details to follow.
Bring your boards.
It's gonna be draft board. Yeah, bring your draft board. It's gonna be fun, man. We're gonna have a great time. Yeah. BYOB. But I am Deontay Epps. That's Dane Beasley. We out this thing.
I'm back.